Does anybody get anything? I mean, I didn't even prepare. I mean, I'm just so tired, man.
I got a little something, man. We try to read every night, and we were reading through 2 Corinthians, and it's not one of my favorite books or whatever, but I thought this was the first 2 verses were instrumental in understanding, and I'll just read them, and then we'll talk about a little bit what you think. For we know that if this earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. And I never really, it's been 40 years reading this book, and I've never found such a clear explanation. Now this is American Standard, and the New Living Translation is even better to explain how we often look at our body and we go, wow, this is what I got. And this is who I am. But no, it's so much deeper than that. And for these 2 verses explaining how this tent could be torn down, but it is not what we think. Because God has made something on the internal part of us that is made in the heavens.
Amen.
And I thought, this is, you know, I mean, I read, and you know, I felt like I found a gold nugget, like this, you know, that could help to explain these bodies that we live in. Because so often, you know, the guy who likes to take care of himself and he exercises and he eats good, and he dies at 45. What? The guy who drinks whiskey and smokes 3 packs of Camels a day and lives into his 90s, and you go, what the heck is that? It doesn't make a, you know, but this thing that God has done, it's not made with hands. And so God, what did he do when you were born again? He awakened Spirit of the living God within you to be who you are called to be instead of what you settled to be.
Right.
And those are 2 different ball games. And I thought in these 2 verses, I think it's something that we could, all of us could just read it over and over again as a life verse to remind us that we look at our bodies, and as I deal in the nursing home all the time, and I says, you know, if you can't look in the mirror and laugh, you know, because you still feel like you're 20 or 30. And the other day, and then, you know, when Elsie just busted his heel, I jumped. What did I jump? I jumped a few feet and I landed on my heels, and I felt like they were pogo sticks, not feet. And I says, I thought I made a covenant with myself at age 50 never to do this stuff again, because I could scale over a fence, you know, phew, right?
Yeah.
No problem. I can't land without pain. And so, because this earthly tent isn't what it used to be. And I think the scriptures bear up a story that we have to learn to grow older gracefully and to accept what God has given to us in this earthly tent. I don't have to jump over fences anymore. You know, I don't have to work, 10, 12 hours a day anymore. I don't have to. And I still do. I still work, because the Bible also tells us work while it is today. So, but not like I used to. Definitely not like I used to. And to remember that God's word has been given to us to correct us, to direct us, to encourage us. Because you know what? This is not our home. We're headed home. This is not our home. We're headed home. And so that was my encouragement from this chapter 5, verses 1 and 2.
Did that have the hope in there?
I think the New Living Translation was a little better.
Which book was that again?
It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. We know that if this earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So it's really describing fill that is within you, that God has. He ain't saving Phil's body.
No, man.
Aren't you glad?
You know, I think
I hope somebody.
Yeah. Phil,
what I'm trying to get to is, as I'm old, as I'm aging, making this personal, it's like, what am I looking for? You know, I mean, he asked this lady, and she got saved. I'm not even there anymore. You know what I mean? And it's like, what's my hope? Should I get that? Should I get this? And I have this refocus, like I said, on the word. I finally went back out of cassette player and get that word going all the time, because you see, and it's like, why am I so yucky? And it's because, where's your hope?
That's it.
Getting a companion, that's a new tool for that.
You know, I'm kidding. You better learn.
Like, I'm being serious here.
But it may be a very good hope for Phil. You know, because it may be something that could season Phil's life.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it would calm him down, maybe, and, you know. Yeah. But I'm just saying, that could be. You know, so what's the desire of your heart? See, first it says, seek ye the kingdom of God.
Right.
And all these other things shall be added unto you. So there, but we usually are the other way around. We want everything else.
Special.
Then when we're in trouble, we call upon God and say, you gave me this woman. Or this situation, or this is something that I wanted, you know.
It's like, okay, you've done that for this and that, and you got friends and stuff, and I don't, and I'm making it personal, you know, because I even tried to identify in prison, you know, I believe that was what was lost in the garden, correct me, is intimacy. Man is no longer intimate with his wife. We're no longer intimate with God. We're not. And I said, where's my friend? As I'm older, Sam's my last friend. If he goes somewhere, I'm alone. But I have nobody.
I don't even like you.
I don't like you either. I love him. But the point of it is, I have to have Sam, because he brings me back to center. You know, he says, hey, you've been down in the street too long. We don't talk like that during Bible studies, right? Mm-hmm. And so iron sharpened with iron. But I pointed out that I said, well, okay. I had this. I mean, God's so blessed me about everything. But now what? You know, and we used to paint houses, do two outreaches on Saturdays. You know,
can't do that
I can't anymore. Even stand outside and watch somebody do that. But here's the thing: is I'm trying to get to this aging part. I'm getting there 70. It's like the aging part is, what do I? What is it that you're looking forward to? You know, and I've lost a little bit. I want to be in heaven. Because if you get down to survival mode, you know, I would like to eat first and then go to heaven. Okay.
See, that's just carnality at its finest.
I know.
I mean, and you can label it as that, and you know what? If you can say before the Lord, say, I am carnal, you know what? That's at least honest.
Well,
you know what? God can deal with that.
If I could say
you
this, it's like I hear the Psalms, and I'm just trying to stir stuff up on the white edge of the issue is, I hear the Psalms, want to do that, been there, been in the heavenly, you sing the song, I want to love you more. You try to, I want to love my wife more, like you were saying when we were over there with Eckblad. I want to love my wife more. And it's like the hardest thing after 47 years, he just says, well, just be still. See? And after, so then you go into this monk mode, you know, and okay, now I'm still. And so I think the real issue is the restlessness of man. You know, I mean, it's like, man, I would love Sam Sim. You know, let's go do something, see? And I need Sam to say, hey, we got that going on. That outreach and gateway just gave me a shot in the arm because I'm at home waiting on the Lord. So I see, so that it's a disconnection from the fellowship, see, to bring the fulfillment.
Well, still does not mean no movement.
I get it.
You're right.
Because it's the kingdom of God that's really at hand and at focus.
Right.
Because, listen, God has given us our lives to enjoy. Okay? Now, oftentimes we enjoy it, but then what usually comes along? Carnality that leads us into sin. Okay? That's the challenge of choosing which way to go.
Yeah. I'm reading from 1 John chapter 1. It says, and this is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him, with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, we say that, I like that, if we say God is light and we walk in the darkness, where are we? How many times we say, oh, I love God, oh, I love this, I love that, and this and that, but yet, can we in the court of law be prosecuted for being in the light? But when people say, "Oh, I'm a Christian, I'm this, I'm that," yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm this and that, but yeah, excuse me, man. And we say that we're we say we're a Christian and we're in the light, but yet our actions, what we say and how we talk and what we do, convicts us of being in the dark. At one point you're like here, and I love God, and all that, you know. But then all of a sudden, what you do? How you speak? How you say? Can people look at you and convict you of being a Christian and says you love God? And so, you know, we have to be real with us. I like what it says. We say that we fellowship with him and we walk. You know, this is the message that we tell him, that God is light and in him there is no darkness. And if we say we fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, how can you fellowship with God and walk in the darkness? Now, I know that a lot of people talk the word, they know the word, they share the word, but has their life had a transforming change in them? Can they be convicted in the court of law? And a lot of times, you know, if you go to the court of law, you say, well, you say you know God, but why are you out there doing what you were doing? Doing drugs, doing this, doing that, whatever. I mean, where's the fellowship? Where's the relationship? We know him, but do we know him? We know him, but as his knowing really got into us, yes. So we're still dealing with our own sins and our own desires. We're talking about us in our flesh. As we get older, I mean, hey,
I'm the man.
I remember this, and here, I could do this, I could go all day and all that. I can barely get up now. And, you know, we have our physical problems, our issues, but yet in our mind, we're strong yet. We could work all day long, we could do this and we could do that. No, we can't. We have to be wise in the things in how we treat ourselves, how we take care of ourselves, and the things that we do. You know, we want to do all things. You know, like yesterday I had a long day. You know, it started out, I did a funeral yesterday. I had to go to the airport to pick somebody up in that traffic. US 19, I mean, the highway, some overturned traffic somewhere. And so, you know, went there, came back, dropped them off, came back home, went back to the funeral, did the funeral, need some water also. And then I preached the funeral. The lady, Pearl, good friend of mine, her husband used to be in our church, and well, her mom died. You know, that was her mom, and she's like, "Oh, what are you crying?" I said, I told the people, first of all, hey, we're not here celebrating death. We're celebrating life. You know? And if we are walking in the Word, in the knowledge of the Word, then the joy in us that she is no longer here, but she's in heaven. She's no longer strung up with stuff stuck in her face and in pain, but she's in heaven. And so, you know, I had to pray with her and lay hands on her and that worked. But you know what is that, you know, I think of Elsie, you know, Elsie thinks he's still 18 years old. Yeah, he thinks he's Batman or something, you know? But we're not. None of us are. And so and it hurts us. How old are you?
35.
You young buck.
He's a buck.
Don't imagine.
I'm 50 to be jealous.
Yeah. And, you know, when we're young, we think as a young man, and we do as a young man, am I right? I mean, we can work all night. We can be there all night. Those guys that work in paramedics or whatever, and some of these guys work all night with their stuff. But we're not there anymore. And through the grace of God, you know, we can do what we can. And so, you know, I think I was yesterday waiting for the funeral. I was reading this. I said, man, this is a good chapter, man. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ has soon cleansed us from all sins. And, you know, and the reality is that the relationship and the fellowship that we have with him causes us to be right and act right. But some people say, I love him, but do we fellowship with him? And the way we fellowship with God is through reading his word. Studying his word, reading. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we have deceived ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You know, and so I'm looking at this, man, and it's good, man. To me, I think it was good, man. And as I kept reading, my little children, these things I will write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation. Propitiation, good word.
Propitiation.
That's it.
Propitiation, yeah, that one. For our sin, I got a tooth missing, so I can't pronounce it. And for our sin, and not for our only, but also for the whole world. And here we are yesterday. You know, I'm in the funeral, and and I'm sharing the gospel with them. Like the lady Jennifer, she was a good Christian. Read the Bible with her husband Ernest. She was an example. People came from all over, and she'd been married to him 35 years, and the love was there. And I talked to the congregation there. I said, hey, do we love that way? Do we say we love God, but does our actions deny that we love God? The way we walk, the way we talk. You know, can you be indicted for being a Christian by your actions? And come on, how long are we going to walk with God, read the Word, know the Word, and not have a change in us? See, the devil knows the Word inside out. But he is a sinful man. He is a father of the lie. So we have to change our thoughts, and the way we act, the way we talk, you know what I mean? We don't walk on water, man. We all fall short of the glory of God, but yeah, you know, when we do sin, we got to get back on that horse. Quit wallowing in the dirt and get back on that horse. If we have to ask God to forgive us every minute, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. I ran the red light. I told this guy, man, hey, give me some room. You know what I mean? Without being nice to him, not even know him, you know? I mean, so where's the love? Could I have been indicted of being low when I, you know, asked him, oh, give me some space here? No! Well, no, I don't feel like was. I don't feel like was. And so, you know, as we walk with the face of God, you know, I mean, we're not Superman. Elsie doesn't have a cape.
Yeah.
He don't have a cape. None of us have a cape. The only thing that we have is the Word and the love of Jesus Christ. As we walk, as we talk, is in our relationship with one another. You know. Yeah. Sure.
You know, I've been listening to scriptures that you've been quoting earlier and stuff, and we keep going back to relationship. Trying to bring this back into what we're speaking on. You know, you can know the Lord and then you can know the Lord. People look at me funny, what do you mean by that? I said, well, because you can know the Lord like you know somebody from looking at their driver's license. You can learn facts, figures, and all this about it. You know, and whatsoever you know the Lord, well, I know about the Lord. Right? But then there's those that know the Lord as if it's intimate.
Right.
Like a man knows his wife. You know, and that's the ultimate goal, because that's where your hope is going to come from as you're walking in your age. I'm trying to tie this all back to what Andre first put out about the earthen vessels and stuff. When we're young, such as this gentleman over here.
There you go, man.
You don't think of these things because you're Superman. You're Superman. You don't think about it. But as you grow, you start to, like Andre saying, and others have said, you just don't have the strength physically to do what you did before. Okay? But the scripture that he's talking about is talking about a promise that's coming to give you a hope
You see, because the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. Okay, if you have no relationship with Jesus, if you have none, an intimate one, should I say, your hope is going to be deferred. Okay? Because you're not going to understand the importance of getting in the Word, like Pastor Sam was saying, in order to understand that relationship and to give you hope as your body deteriorates, to understand that there's another part of you. You have been quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, there's that new man that's been quickened in you. You know? And the more you develop your relationship with him, the more you understand that. And as you age, you have this is, you know, it's more than I have a mansion just over the hill. You know? There's a relationship, and you're going to have a new body and a new hope.
Look, I had a problem when you say over the hill, you look at me.
And it's all coasting after that. We all should get capes.
But I mean, if you find yourself without hope, then what you need to do is build your relationship with
Lord. What does it say here? My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate, which is the Father Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is, propitiation for our sins, and that not of our own, but of his. Now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth of him is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word, truly does. Because here's the thing. The Bible says, how do you know if that man is a Christian? Or these people are Christian? How do you know that? Did you own them?
And
how do you know that they're Christian? By the love. But let me tell you something. I see more love in people that are not Christian. I see more love and where people come together and help somebody. They don't even believe in God, but they have goodness in them. You know? They go out there and they help. They help that little old lady cross the street, you know, and 100 Christians drive by the car where they stop and help that little old lady. And so we claim what will our life, how's that word, how's it say, indict us that we're Christians if we're put in, in jail or something like that. And so we have to have love for one another and courage. But you know, I'm going to tell you what, I don't know about y'all. You know, there is not a lot of love out there. I'm talking about the Christian world. There's not a lot of love. And it used to be. Everybody used to come together and help and do this and that. But I think what happens, maybe what happens is that, you know, if you were brought up in the Word and you helped and do this, you did this, you say, well, I put my time in. I did this, I did that, I need a break. You know?
No break.
Yeah, let the young bucks do it. I don't need to do it anymore. I did that already.
I think you lose the perspective that the reward is in the Lord. And then I think that we have certain time limits. And I'm not, you know what arrogant guy I am, but I said, you know, I'm only got 500 yards for free. And now the people come up and go, hey, when you get a email on my lawn, I go, a thank you would be nice.
Oh, yeah. Okay?
So social skills is down the tubes. And I was like, I mowed your lawn for 5 years. And God said, well, if you can't do it in me, then don't do it. See, I lost my, that I was doing it for the Lord.
See? Yeah.
And you're human, and you get hurt, and you get, at least you could do, what I waved to you was say hi or good morning or something. They ignore me. Right? And so I see that scripture, love overall cold. And the kids, oh my gosh, and all this and all that. But it's like, all of a sudden I realized, that's what I said last week, I'm realizing my heart's growing cold, you know? That lady came out here, remember last week, and she needed some money. I said, I ain't about to give my, I don't give, I've done this for 4 years, the 47 years, and now I know who she is, and you know, God, I knew that I mean, I was born here, and I couldn't get in my car fast enough. And I look over at him, and she's crying. I said, well, it wasn't definitely my call to win her to the Lord, right? She was attractive. Was she attractive? Yes, she was cute. But your heart was right on. My heart was, I got to flee. But that's what the Bible tells me to do. Get my, this, and I know the street too. But I'm trying to get to the place that, hey, Philip, accept your humanness. Keep talking to the Holy Spirit. Keep doing the things, even though you're bad. What's it say? Endure to the end, but keep on keeping on. It's done. You know. I thought, this is stupid. 47 years ago, I had to put the tapes in my car, you know, Bible tapes, to keep my mind occupied. I said, and so what happens when you get older? You return to your crazy childhood. So now I have to go, well, wait, right back then, I go, hey, do you know the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, you know, faithfulness. I said, man, I got to start. I got to get that back in my, what I did as a youth, I better start doing now. You know, I thought, oh, I'm close to that. And I wanted to share that because it's a struggle every day. I said, hey, I know that person, and I know that person, and I know that person. And I love them, but like you said, are you making friends, with the world, I sit out there and I said, well, I go to the church and nobody even sees me. But that's not a complaint. Because I'm here, you know? I gotta stir this up. Because I don't know what to do to food. So it's a struggle. It's a struggle for older people. Ah, Harry, I love you. I'm gonna get my hat off too. Thank you so much. So it's a frustration. Not just to birth children, but to keep the geriatrics in Christ. There's going to be a great falling away. It ain't going to be the babies. See, it's coming because it's like, yeah, I'm going to go to church. Where am I going to go to church? Hey, let's go to Gateway. It's a long time
down. You know, in 1 John 3 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him, beloved. Now we are children of God, and he has not yet been revealed that we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is, and anyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. Jesus is his prayer. You know, one of the things that we have to also understand, and I feel guilty. There's things we can do, there's things we can't do. You know, when I had our church and our ministry and the transition of housing, I had some guys, you know, like Peter, that walked, he was tall. He looked strong. He looked strong and all that, you know. He looked like he could move a car by himself. But I asked him to move that box over there. I can't. So I look at him and I says, why not? Why can't you move that box? My back. Well, you know what? I didn't understand that. See, if I don't understand your pain, can I reason with you? Or can I relate? No, I don't. But later on down the road, when my back hurts, now I understand. Now I have more sympathy on him, you know, that he couldn't do it. But sometimes we can't imagine that and understand that. And we're not as young as we were. You know, I think some of the stuff that, you know, that needs to be done over there today, over there, you know. I don't know. We have to talk to Lori or Alice to find out what it is and put something together, you know. So, I don't know.
What
church do you go to? Who do you go? Who do you serve at?
Calvary Chapel, St. Pete.
Oh, St. Pete. I got to figure out St. Pete.
Okay. Yeah, the one by Walmart.
Yeah. Oh,
Calvary Chapel.
Yeah, that is St. Pete. That is by Walmart. Okay.
US 19. Yeah.
Yeah, I was I bought a house at 22, so I was ambitious as a young man. Did concrete work.
Yeah.
Moved to Florida and then bought a house right behind it. I was actually Catholic dating a girl that her family went there, you know. Uh-huh. And then I gave a homeless guy a ride, walked in there, and never looked back. But it wasn't till 7 years later, December 3rd, 2014, when I gave my life to Christ.
Praise God, man. Praise God.
That's pretty neat that you remember the day.
Yeah, really.
And you know, one of the things that for me, I could actually say January 16, 40 years ago.
Wow.
10:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I applaud you guys because I can't remember what I ate yesterday. So.
Well, it was monumental.
Yeah.
You know, because you know, I was Andre. Didn't eat anything, came to the end of Andre, and found out I needed everything.
Amen.
And, you know, a friend of mine had shared basically with me, you know, I had the house, the car, the truck, the woman, the kid, everything by age 21, so what was left?
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, you go to work, you make money, you do what everybody's told you're supposed to do, and now you did it all. Well, what the heck is left? Well, my friend, who Todd and Keith Pansner, they shared with me basically that, you know, Andre, you have everything except the only thing that matters. You're missing Jesus. You see, with Jesus, you can have all those things and have a right relationship between this earth's treasures and Him. But without Him, you can't have a right relationship because nothing satisfies. You know, if it was women, you could have one every night of the week, but it never satisfies. If it was drink, you'd have to drink every night, every day. It doesn't satisfy. If it's drugs, you do the drugs and it's not satisfying. So, what satisfies?
Good job. Uso por mí.
And I had the same thing, basically. I grew up in a very modernistic type church, a little church, very similar to Catholicism.
Good job, Perry.
I knew all about Jesus. I could tell you that he was in the ground, died, buried, resurrected, and all that. And do you believe? Oh yeah, I believe him. But I didn't know him, you know. And when the day that I was introduced to him from him was a day that I'll never forget. It just imprints on you so strong. That's why you can say what day you sat in church, what, 7 years you said, and didn't have that experience. And once it happens to you and you know the reality of God and there's a relationship there to pursue, it makes all the difference in the world. It's that hope that we were talking about.
Yeah.
One day we'll be with Him and we won't be stuck in this shell.
You know, like for me, I had a friend of mine that went, a friend of mine there goes to Suncoast Cathedral, and they were doing EE, which is Evangelism Explosion. And so, you know, but, you know, I was out doing homeless, doing this, doing that, doing a lot of ministry. So one day I'm working on a car, he stops by, he lives down the street in Gulfport, And he asked me, hey, Sam, can I practice on you?
Uh-oh.
Go ahead, man. I'm just working on this this car right here. He's doing something, so.
Did he have the things that...
No, he didn't have that. Yeah. But he asked me a question. Well, if you die today, would you go to heaven? I said, yeah. And he said, as I was working, and he said, well, why?
Yeah.
Well, I feed the homeless, I do this, and all this stuff, all the works, you know? And he thought I was messing with him, but then he realized I wasn't.
You were JW different.
No. And then he shared with me, you know, we're saved through grace, not of works, that nobody should boast, but, you know, and when he started with that, then at that point, I wish that if I knew the day, I knew the place, but not the day. But that day, man, I started crying like a baby. I went home, honey, come here, I gotta talk to you. She thought I was back on my drugs again. And she said, what's wrong? Honey, I'm saved. She looked at me, she says, really? You just figured that out now? But you know, yeah, we go through life. There's many people who are sitting in church today that do good works.
Right.
And they do good things.
Right.
And they might give good offerings. Mm. But are they saved? Do they really understand that they're saved? And if they, that's why I always tell people, check your relationship with God, man. Are you really saved? Do you know that that He died for you? But to me, that was monumental that day, because now I did, and I was crying, you know, and I cried and all that, you know. So I have never been the same since then.
Had a life change.
Now I was doing something with a greater purpose, though. You know, with a greater purpose. So,
well, that's what the book of James says. He says, I will show you my faith by my works.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't work the other way. Because a lot of tendency of religion is to be works orientated. And the book of James, I think, really addresses that very well. And I will show you my faith by what I do.
You know, when you're preaching at a funeral, what a great opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, and I share the gospel with them, and I say, you know, and you're like, the lady that died, Miss Jennifer, I said, this lady demonstrated the gospel. Her and her husband, Ernest, they would sit and read the Bible together and all that, and people drove from, you know, New York, Georgia, different places to be there because of the love that they have for her, because they made a difference. And I was telling all these people, what a great opportunity. So, you know, every one of you say you love God. And every one of us say we love God. But that's our life demonstrated, you know? I mean, they were married 35 years. Today, people don't consider nothing about marriage. People don't really get married. They live together. They get together for years. I say, come on, what did God say? He said, live together.
There's Timothy chapter.
And so I get an opportunity to wham, bring that word, brother. Quit walking in those dark places and get back into the light of the Lord, you know. So it was good, man. Praise God. And then I went to prison ministry that night.
You hit all the bases, huh?
Oh yeah. Man. Yesterday I hit them all. So praise God, man.
Which
prison
down here? I mean, the jailhouse?
No, the study. I got one more class to go. But I took a friend of mine that he was in jail, the one that I led to the Lord through the telephone. He's at Salvation Army, and he's doing great, and I took him with me over there, you know? And again, it's all about discipleship, right?
Right.
Don't tell me how much you love me.
Nah.
Show me.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think where people miss it, I tell people, I say, look, man, my way of discipling somebody is by them walking with me.
Right.
By me showing them. You know, you could tell me, Andre, all day long how to cut a piece of wood. Okay. But you got to show me. Show me how to cut that wood, you know? And so I'd say discipleship, you can preach till the cows come home, share the gospel. But when you work with somebody and you guys do things together, they see how you act, how you, one time I might have jumped on this dude faster than I do now. But now I do more love, you know, discipleship. And I told him last night, I said, man, look, we got the best example of discipleship is Jesus Christ. He was with these guys 3.5 years. And how many times Jesus pulled his hair out? When are you guys going to learn? Yes, he did.
He said, I have to go up to the mountain.
Yeah, I got to
get away from you guys.
Bush wasn't even in existence.
And so we have to show people by our actions. We just can't talk it. We got to live it. And then they see us working. And then they can work for it.
You know, we've always, for the years here, been talking about the church. I'm going to ask a question because I'm not in mainline church. I go to the things. So, it used to be like Explosion, they have meetings of discipleship training. Remember that? Even Calvary Chapel. And you go and you'd have your discipleship training. Is that even in effect anymore? Does anybody?
I don't know what.
You know, we have outreaches, and you go a couple weeks before, and you learn how to four spiritual laws. And all. Is there any structure like that anymore?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Do you know?
Here's the problem with that approach.
Well, it's in the church.
I have not seen it, but what I've seen in the past, you know, with the rescue mission that I was part of years and years ago, we had person after person after person, 7 days a week down at that rescue mission, bringing the Word of God, and the people, there were so many people that were receiving nothing. And what it is leadership and those that were presenting the gospel, they would come to do a half an hour Bible study, and then out the door they went. There was no true come alongside you. Right. And it was a really, there were some that did it, but like they used to feed the guys, and at the end of it, you know, there was an opportunity for you to sit down and talk with the guys over what the discussion was about or the whatever. And you'd be surprised how many pastors just walked right out that door, never really talked with the guys, never sat down and ate with the guys before that they taught it. That's what happens. That I used to do. I take my wife, we go in, sit down with the guys while they're being all fed. We got fed too. It's free meal. That's good. And it built that relationship with the guy sitting next to you. You know? And by hanging around and saying, okay, now what is it you want to know personally? You got questions about what we discussed? And sit down and be honest with them. And they... You know, curiosity is a great thing that's put in us.
One of the things that we did when we, in the early years, when we were doing our street ministry, we were feeding the people outside, that when everybody went through the line, then we would tell guys, man, go grab a meal. And I got pictures of guys sitting there with somebody that's homeless and just having a conversation and eating. You know, and... when we did that in St. Vincent's, after we had a gang of people that when they came, I don't want that. When when they came into the door, now these guys are you know, sleeping outside, nasty, whatever. But when they come through the door, we had a like several guys on either side that when they came in, and we celebrated them, we shook their hands, say, "Hey man, we're glad you're here." And some of those people look at us, what? But they appreciated that. And then once they sat down, when we served them, we had people walk around and sit down with people and eat breakfast with them. That's relationship, building relationship. Don't tell me how much you love me, show me.
Building relationship.
Show me.
That was the thing.
That's discipleship, man.
Building relationship.
But today, I don't know, I don't know who asked that question. Are they doing it? I don't know what they're doing. But I tell you, like last Sunday, I wanted to see Art. I got on his case. And the other day when I saw him, I said, "Dude, I went to the bathroom for a minute when the service was over and I came back and there was a ghost town. What, were they serving free chicken at poor folks or what? You know, everybody left the church." I said, "My God! Right. Where's the fellowship? Everybody's in a hurry to go somewhere."
Right.
You know, that's why I love when I pass the day. One of the things he taught us a long time ago, that, you know, hey, set up a coffee thing, get donuts, get whatever, so people can hang out after service and fellowship. And when we had our church, I mean, these people were fellowshipping at the little cafe, and I wanted to go, and nobody else had the key. So I said, I don't know who it was, "Here's the key, see you later. Give me the keys tomorrow, or May keys," so they can stay in fellowship. Don't just go to church, but build relationship, man. You're going to be with them forever in heaven. Well, let's have heaven here. Let's have relationships here. You know, I appreciate a Spanish church, and he asked me to preach. I didn't want to preach. I just came there to hear. But he messed up, man, because I said, "You know what? How many people here today ate Christmas dinner by themselves?" A few people raised their hand. Why? We're a family. Are we so into ourselves that we forget other people? Loneliness is the worst thing. The body should be come together. You know, when back in the day, our house was a house of fellowship. Everybody came to the house. You know, so I had a youth guy. We're watching TV, and I had this couch like that, and he said, my wife and I looked at him and said, "When is dude leaving?" He was uncomfortable. I said, "Dude, man, just lock the door on your way out." And my wife and I went to sleep. You know, fellowship, relationship. If we don't have any of that, what do we have? We don't got nothing, man. All we do is pretending. But I also understand that cultures are different. You know, some cultures, they're not real friendly.
No.
And, but me, I come from a Latin culture, Spanish. In my house, growing up, everybody was there. It was a revolving door, people coming and going. And when I got married, man, you know, I followed that tradition. People were coming and going all the time. That's relationship, friendship. You know, all the lonely people, where did they come from? And we have a church that's full of lonely people. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Well, even when you're having fellowship, a lot of times in a church, it's a click.
Sign up.
Yeah.
Click. Okay.
Right.
Family, okay? You know, I'm with my family. I'm with my little group here, okay? And I mean, speaking from the perspective of being a single man, okay. You know, you're not, it's like,
odd man
most
out.
People just don't pay attention, okay? No. You know? But, you know, you have to, that's where you, you have to be able to understand that, you know, that's going to be the way it is, okay? And you have to go in your inroads. You have to make the inroads yourself, okay? If you're not friendly, no one's going to be friendly to you.
Right.
And that's what a lot of the people who are non-Christians don't understand. I had, yesterday, somebody pulled up and I was working, okay? And two young ladies and a young man, and they're, you know, you can see by looking at them, they're warped, okay? They start to joke around, and the girls say, hey, can we get a picture with you? Because I had my shirt on, you know, my ministry shirt. And I knew it was mocking, okay? So I just sat there and I said, sure, yeah, come on, okay? We want to take a picture with you, okay? So then the guy starts talking to me, and I said, I did get a quick question. I said, do you know who Jesus is? He's like, so what do you do past that point? I said, no. And he said, well, I'm not religious. I said, well, neither am I. I said, that's not what I asked you. Okay? I said, do you know who Jesus is? Well, he's supposedly the Son of God. I said, well, he is the Son of God. Okay. Now, the guy's still, you know, he's still talking to me now, but this guy would have never even talked to me, and I would have never even gotten the inroads. By the time they left, I took out three of my bracelets. I told them, why would Jesus die? And they all became somber. They all became like, and that's as far as it went. You see, now the discipleship, yes, you wish. You want in every way to be able to disciple every person you reach out to. Well, sometimes that's not what you're going to do. Sometimes you're only going to do an inroad, okay? You're going to plant the seed, okay? And sometimes that's what all it's going to do. Okay? That's okay.
You want to say something?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I admire most about Andre and his family is the fact they opened their house up like what you described.
Yeah.
Okay?
We're not even Latino.
Yeah. they're New Yorkers. So, you know? Anyway, I used to think, well, this is great. He's got a healthy wife and all this. And I used to think that way until as the years were going by, all of a sudden Cheryl wasn't so healthy. And she was doing this stuff.
Yeah, still.
You know, and to me, what they were doing was, and I'm not just trying to inflate Andre or whatever, you know.
I have enough gas.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But the number of lives that they have changed just by inviting them to come over, sit down, and it wasn't just at the holidays, because he'd have bonfires, what do you want to call that?
Bonfires.
Okay. And
well, we have controlled flames.
There you go.
Live in St. Petersburg.
Right.
Better than my father. He used to just put all the stuff in the mud box and light it on fire and all the neighborhood.
But anyway, he'd open it up on the cool nights and ask and tell people if you want to come by, sit down, talk, and whatever. And it wasn't, we're not going to cram this down your throat and this down your throat. It was just a time of getting together. You know? And but that was such a great witness.
He
left.
Oh, you left?
That was such a great witness. That meant more to me because he was taking his time, which is precious. Every one of our time is precious. And sharing it with others. I used to hold home Bible studies where I opened my home up. And it'd go by, you know, most of the times it would end by about 10 o'clock. But no one left till 1, 2, and then I'm going to work at 6 or 7.
Then you wear your pajamas.
The wife can stay up.
Well, you know, what we need to do is, first of all, you know, we, every one of us needs to be an example. We can't, you know, when we sit here, we talk about it, but, you know, we got to be doers, not just hearers of the word. And, you know what, if you have the ability to do, you know, take somebody out to lunch after church or something like that, you know? There's many lonely people in those churches today, you know? And they get there, they come to you, you know? Especially when you go, when you're in big churches like yourself, you know, you don't know everybody, you know. That's the, and who, you know, if you ever make that, if you ever make the mistake as a greeter, hey, hi, how you doing? Are you new here? The person said, no, I've been here 10 years. Oh, oops.
Well, I haven't been.
That's common.
Yeah.
That's common.
My comment on that is 2 years ago I changed membership from one church to another one. So I asked the new to me pastor, well, do you have directories so I can have pictures and get to know you people? They would have phone numbers so I could call them. No, this is a different world than that. We don't do directories anymore.
They don't, yeah. Ozzy can't stand that. He wants directories. You know,
phone
numbers and all that with pictures and all that.
It'd be
good, you know?
It'd be good. Nobody does it anymore because they want their own security. They're afraid of what you're going to do with the information.
Amen. Praise the Lord.